That's the disco classic Dance With Me, performed by actors in The Donkey Show. For those of you that don't know, The Donkey Show has been a fixture in Boston theater and nightlife for 10 years. It's a Shakespeare disco mashup that spins its final disco ball Saturday. And WBUR arts reporter and critic Amelia Mason has seen lots of the show's performances since she worked as a bartender and server at the Oberon Theater for 7 years. She's here to talk about the show's legacy and how it looks different in the Me Too era. Amelia, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So, for those of us that may not know what The Donkey Show is, what is it?
Basically, it's a disco reimagining of Shakespeare's A Midsummer Night's Dream. It's this very immersive and interactive piece of theater. It was brought to the American Repertory Theater by its artistic director, Diane Paulus. She helped actually originate it in New York City in the late 90s. You walk in and it's a disco dance party, the plot of A Midsummer Night's Dream, but instead of actually doing Shakespearean dialogue, the actors are just singing their feelings along to disco, and they're covered in glitter, not wearing very many clothes.
Okay. So as I mentioned, you worked at the bar at Oberon, the venue where The Donkey Show played. How will you remember it?
Well, I'm pretty sure I spent most of my 20s covered in glitter just from being in that space all the time. It's sort of inevitable. You just walk in there, and that's what happens. When I started back in 2010, it was still really exciting. The Donkey Show was super new, and it was packed every night. And you have to remember, like, it just wasn't like anything else in theater or in nightlife. It's not a show you see on stage. You walk into the space, you're on a dance floor, you're dancing, and then the action takes place all around you, next to you, above you, anywhere.
Now, you wrote an essay about The Donkey Show, and one of the things that you mention is how different the show looks now in the Me Too era. Can you explain that a little further?
I mean, assault and predation were very prevalent in 70s disco clubs. The play is actually very conscious of this, and it's very conscious of gender dynamics as well. One way it deals with this is by casting women in the male roles. Mm. And so they're literally performing masculinity, and they're doing it in this very satirical way. They're kind of revealing how kind of creepy and absurd, you know, masculinity can be. But at the same time, one of the main plots involves the club's owner. He's trying to win back his girlfriend to Tanya, and what he ends up doing is he drugs her and coerces her into having sex with a donkey, which is played for laughs in the show.
Mm.
And I don't think when I first saw it, I identified it as sexual assault, which I do now. We've had this whole discussion very openly in this country, and it's totally reframed the show for me. Audiences are not going to react the same way today as they did maybe, you know, when it started in 2009. You know, on the one hand, I think the scene really reveals just, you know, in a very explicit and actually very insightful way, the darkness at the core of Shakespeare's comedy. But it's also really disturbing and upsetting.
What's The Donkey Show's legacy now in theater and for the American Repertory Theater?
Yeah, its legacy has actually been pretty impactful in theater. You know, when it opened in the late 90s, it was on the forefront of this trend that we see a lot of now in theater, of sort of theater being immersive and interactive. And that's something that stayed with us. In terms of the American Repertory Theater, I think The Donkey Show really set the tone for the venue where it played, which is Oberon. It was a bit of an experiment, I think, when they started it. It was kind of a weird place to have theater. It wasn't set up the same way as a normal theater. And the hope was that it would sort of provoke more experimental things, things that you could do in a bar or cabaret setting. And I think they had success with that. The reason they actually gave me when I asked, you know, why are you ending The Donkey Show now, other than like, yay, it's 10 years, it's a nice round number, is that, you know, the space is in really high demand and they need those Saturday nights. So I think they really see the blueprint provided by The Donkey Show as a way forward.
You talk about how the show is seen in a new light now in the Me Too era. Do you think it'll be missed?
I mean, I know I'll miss it. I have ambivalent feelings about the show. I also think it's really smart and clever, so it's a little bit of a confusing combination of feelings. And I think a lot of people really, really loved it. And I think it did really set the tone, as I said, for Oberon, which is a place that's very open, just generally kind of risk-taking theater. And for me, it'll make good fodder for my memoirs.
That's WBUR's arts reporter and critic Amelia Mason talking about the end of The Donkey Show. Thanks.
Thanks for having me.